Praise the Lord. Well, it is good to see you. Everybody got a smile on your face? It is Sunday morning and you are in church. You got a reason to have a smile on your face, don't you? Amen. Hey, in regards to the project, you know, one thing that I've been praying over you guys as we get into this, you know, seek the Lord about it. What is it that the Lord would have you to do? And then believe God. You know, 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, now that he ministers seed to the sower, minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown. Amen. And so set your heart to believe God. What is it, Lord, that you would have me and my family to do? And then believe God for the seed to sow. And then when he gives you the seed to sow, don't eat your seed. I said, don't eat your seed. Amen. And then the Bible says that he'll take care of your food and your bread and your house. Put his house first and he'll take care of your house. Amen. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Are you ready for the word this morning? Amen. Well, after dying in a car crash, three friends go to heaven for orientation, and they were all asked the same question. When you're in the casket and friends and family are mourning over you, what would you like to hear them say about you? You ever had somebody ask you that? So the first guy immediately responds, I would like to hear them say that I was one of the greatest doctors of all time, of my time, and I was a great man. The second man said, I would like to hear them say that I was a wonderful husband, a school teacher who made a huge difference in the children's lives. The last guy thinks for a minute, and he thinks, and he ponders the question, and he replies, I'd like to hear him say, look, he's moving. How many of you would like to hear that? Glory to God. Amen. We ask it quite often, but how many of you believe that you can hear something this morning that can change the course of your life? Every time we get into the Word, I believe that's what we're after, listening and hearing. Lord, what is it that you have for us? What is it that we can hear to extend our life? You know, recently, we shared this last time we were together, but this May marks 30 years of ministry for us, for me in particular. So I've been doing a lot of thinking about the last 30 years and what is it that we've developed in? What is it that we've taught? What is it that we've learned? So some of these things that we're going over, especially as we get into, I think this is part 5 of our message series, in particular, these last few messages that we're on have been has kind of come out of me thinking about the last 30 years. Lord, where have we come from? What have we done? And what we're looking at is some truths that revolutionized my life, actually changed the course of my life, and set me on a course to experiencing God's best. You know, one thing that I say every single morning is that I will walk in health and victory all the days of my life. With long life, I will be satisfied. That's part of my daily confession. And it's I confess it because I believe it. Amen. I believe those things. And so these are things that we're going to be talking about that I believe has led to that. And I'm convinced that it's important to take care of these things and look at these things because I believe that wrong thinking and wrong believing defeat people every time. And quite opposite of that, I believe that right thinking and right believing can change the course of your life. Amen. I discovered the one thing that about my life, you know, I say it all the time. My mom had us in church when we were growing up, and if we weren't in church, I remember, you know, if we didn't make it to church, we would sit in front of the television. We'd watch Brother Copeland for 2 or 3 hours, you know. And thank you, Pastor Mark. You got that? He's a little long-winded, Brother Copeland is. Has a lot to say. So I grew up listening to the Word. It wasn't like I wasn't churched. But, you know, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so it's not necessarily what you know that defeats you, it's what you don't know. And so I believe that's been our mandate over the last 30 years, is to teach people faith, to instruct them in the Word of God, to correct people's thinking to line up with the Word of God. And so in particular, the Lord's led us into talking about 4 things. And so I want to touch on these 4 things. Now, again, I want to say it as much as I can. As we talk about these 4 things, You know, you can spend, take each one of them and talk about a 10 service thing on it, you know, 10-part series on each one of these. But so we want to touch on these things and just kind of highlight these things. Number one, the main thing that we got to last time was we were talking about this idea that God sends sickness as some sort of tool. How many of you know that's not correct? Yeah. Right? Or that God has a purpose to humble us or teach us something in sickness. Well, those are some thinkings that I had that I had to correct. You know, there's two plans for your life. There's God's plan, and then there's the enemy's plan. And we said that these two plans are diametrically opposed. They're north and south. They're polar opposites of each other. But both plans come with a choice. And it's important that you choose wisely. But never forget this. Never forget this. One of my favorite passages in the scripture is Acts 10:38 that says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about, what does it say? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So this is one of the main things you need to get straight, is Jesus is the healer, Satan is the oppressor. Don't ever confuse the two. Jesus is the healer and Satan is the oppressor. I found this years ago, but Brother Hagin said this. He said, everything connected with the body of Christ, the New Testament church, raise both hands and say, that's me. That's us this morning. Everything connected with the body of Christ, the New Testament church, should bear the stamp of prosperity, success, healing, surplus, and health. And so we started taking a look at those things. Amen. So healing was and is part of God's plan for redemption just as much as salvation. Glory to God. So this morning, let's do this. I'll invite you to open to 3 John 2. We'll start here, jump in here. And again, if you missed some of these messages, please go back, go online or to our YouTube channel and catch up. Listen to these things. Don't miss a service, because I believe they're important to hear. In 3 John 2, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You know, that word prosper there is an interesting word. It's a Greek word meaning a good road or a good journey. Or some translations say to help along the road. You know, I remember years ago, especially when I got into college, we lived in Austin, Texas. And so I was going to college in Tulsa or Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And so, you know, that was about 7.5 hours from where I grew up outside of Austin to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so, you know, to go back home, we would go down to Dallas where my grandparents, they did. Does anybody know where Waxahachie, Texas is? Sheila does. Nobody else knows. Waxahachie. Now that's a name, isn't it? That's a good Texas name for a town. Waxahachie, Texas. So we would leave Tulsa and we would go to Dallas or Waxahachie, Texas. And so we would stop in there, visit with my grandparents. And then the next morning we'd get up and go the rest of the way. So it was a good way for me to visit with my grandparents. Well, one thing that my grandfather would do, especially while I was in college, was he would take me in the car the next morning and we would go get donuts, but he would want to take my car. And so, I didn't think a lot about it, but I started understanding what he was doing. You know, I'd get in the car, he'd get in the car, we'd go get the donuts, and he'd say, hey, stop at the gas station over here. I want to fill your car up for you. Well, you know, when I was in college, that was a blessing, yeah. Right? And so we would stop in there, and he'd fill my car up for me, and we'd eat some donuts, and then we'd get on the road and go the rest of the way. Well, what was my grandfather doing? He was prospering me. He was helping me along the road. So when you hear this word prosper, when you hear this word prosper, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. What is he saying? He wants to help us along life's journey. And so he wants to do the things. See, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. What's his goal? His goal is to help us along this life's journey, to give you everything that you need to be a success in this life. And so the vast number of Christians only know. Everybody say, only know. They only know, I'm not going to hell. Now listen, that's a big deal. Yes. Say, I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to I'm not going to hell. Or as Kim Clout would say, hell. I'm not going to hell. Huh? Yeah, that's a good message. There's songs written about that. I'm not going to hell. Praise God. But you know, there's so much more than that. Listen, John 5:24, Jesus states that whoever hears my word and believes shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Thank God we're not going to hell. But see, don't miss out. Don't miss out. The redemption that he provided so much more. What is it? Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Salvation is a wonderful thing, but in fact, salvation in and of itself, that word salvation, contains everything that you need. Go study it out. It's not just that you're not going to hell. Salvation is an all-encompassing word that covers you head to toe.
Yes, it does.
Huh? We talked about that. Now listen, 1 Timothy 4:8 says this. Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness is profitable. Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is here on this earth. Now is, and that which is to come. Did you know the reason the Bible says that bodily exercise profits a little is because it only profits in one area? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? You know, you can go work out this afternoon, and I'm sure many of you do, and I'm sure many of you don't, but many of you do. You know, whether that's on the treadmill or walking or whatever, you know, you exercise, and it benefits your body. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do that. You know, don't just sit on that couch like a sloth and don't move, you know. Get up, move around, it benefits you. But bodily exercise in and of itself profits your body. And again, thank God for that. Amen. And I believe the older you get, you really ought to take care of your body and do some things that benefits you. But it only profits you in one particular area. But the Bible tells us that godliness is profitable unto all things. All things. Now listen, having the promise of the life that now is. That's where we are right now. How many of you know we need to get this right? That's why we're talking about it. We need to get this right. Amen. Proverbs 11:31 says, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. There's so many different scriptures, so many different ways you could say it, but he wants to take care of you now. He wants to equip you now. He wants to give you everything that you need in life to be a success here and now. Recompense. What does recompense mean? Well, really, it means wages. If you go to work, how many of you want to be paid? Well, that's what that word recompense means. It means to compensate, but it also means to be rewarded. It means to be made safe and complete. Now, here's interesting. It's interesting. The righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. There's another part of this that literally means, in the Hebrew, it means to be made whole. Right? If you work a day's wage and say, I was going to pay you $100 to work a day's wage and I only give you 90, well, I'm shortchanging you. I didn't give you everything. But if I give you the full 100, then I have recompensed you. I have made you whole. Right? So it's his goal to make sure that you have everything that you need in this life, to make sure that you don't fall short in any area. And listen, you are right now. See, we're going to combine what we just talked about to where we're going today. But, you know, it's his desire that you walk in health and victory all the days of your life. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Listen, you are right now. Everybody say right now.
Right.
Say right now.
Right.
You are right now just as healed as you are forgiven. So don't ever forget that. I said, don't ever forget that. Don't ever mix those two things up. Again, things that I've learned, things that have helped me out. Let's move on to number two. If you weren't with us the last particular message, or the last message in particular, go back and listen to that. It'll cover a lot more. But today we want to move on and and talk about the next thing. Again, these are things that as I was seeking the Lord and evaluating the last 30 years, things that meant the most to me. And one of the next things that I looked at or the Lord started taking me through and showing me scriptures and reminding me about was this misunderstanding or misconception regarding life and death. You know, it started real early for me because when I was in high school, my best friend was killed in a car accident when I was a sophomore or freshman, end of my freshman year. Anyways. And so it changed the course of my life, caused me to have to evaluate and reevaluate a lot of things in my life. And so we'll get into that, but I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to see some things here. There are misconceptions about life and death that I believe that you've got to deal with. Look at verse number 19. This, of course, is understand Moses' final address to the Israelites on the plains of Moab before they entered the promised land. And this, of course, was after 40 years of wandering around. Now, keep in mind something. Keep in mind something. This is a whole new generation of Israelites. Yeah. I said this is a whole new generation because for 40 years they wandered around, but God declared that none of the men who saw his glory and signs in Egypt would make it. Because the Bible says that he said, they tested me these 10 times, so they will not see the land. So he said, everyone 20 years old and upward who grumbled against me, he said, they would fall in the wilderness just short of the promise. Now you can go find that for yourself. We don't have time this morning to read that. But in Numbers 14, 22 through 30, he talks about those things. So this previous generation, remember this is a whole new generation. This previous generation was a rebellious generation. Their choices had affected those that around them. Because of their grumbling and complaining, it affected everybody around them. So they had to wander around with them for 40 years when it wasn't God's plan for them to do so. It wasn't God's plan for them to not enter in. But because they grumbled and planned, that's where they were. But now picture the scene. This is a whole new generation. But what's happening? Why have they not entered the promised land? Well, this new generation knew what went down. They were there. They were listening. And what the Lord had said to the others is a result of their unbelief. So they're all waiting. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for the last one to die out. Now, come on, you got to take this in context. They knew what the Lord said. So they're waiting for these last ones to die out so that they could get up and go. Because the Lord said they're not going to see the promised land. So they're waiting. They're getting up in the morning. They're reading the obituary. They're taking note. And so now all of a sudden Moses dies and they're ready to go. But now listen, so here we are. This is Deuteronomy 30. Verse number 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. This is the message that is given to this new generation. Blessing and cursing, he says, therefore choose life. Now here's the part I want you to see, that both you and your seed may live. See, he was telling them this message that I'm giving you is not just for you. It's for you and your family. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice. Remember, this is Moses' last message. He knows where he's going. He knows he's not going to the promised land. He knows his days are numbered. And he says that you may love the Lord your God and that you may obey his voice, that you may cleave to him, for he is your life. And he is the length of your days. That you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware to give unto the fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. So what are they doing? They're ready to go. But here's what I want you to understand. I assure you that there was no confusion on why this bunch died long before they should have. Get quiet on me. I assure you, there was no confusion when names showed up in the obituary. Because the Lord had already said, because of your grumbling and complaining, you're not going to make it into the promised land. Stay with me now. People wrongly think that, well, you know, when it's your time, it's just your time. Or people say, well, you just never know what the Lord is going to do. Well, you know, God was calling them home. It was their time. How many of you know that's foolishness? Every bit of that. Hebrews 9:27, you know, religion teaches us that when it's your time, it's your time. But you know, that's not Bible. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die. One translation that I really like says, that just means you die once. How many of you know, should the Lord tarry, we're all going to die. Now, we're not trying to be morbid this morning. We're not gathering up a bus and taking everybody home today. But you're going to die. Should the Lord tarry his coming, we will all die. We will all face death. But that's all Paul that was coming out here. He said, it's appointed unto man once to die. It doesn't mean you have an appointment with death. It doesn't mean that you've been given a time and whatever today is at 12:01, you know, Jimmy's going to face death because that was his appointment with God. Just like God has some kind of appointment book and he's got your name written on a particular day. No, that's not what that means. Look over at Philippians chapter 1. You know, it's Paul speaking. I think it's interesting to point some of these out. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says this. Paul had this revelation. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul had a revelation that if he dies, it's gain to him. Do you have that revelation this morning? This morning, if should you die today, did you know it's gain for you? But he also said, for me to live is Christ. It's also good that you keep living. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I'm not sure, or I want not. Paul was saying, I have a choice. He said, if I choose to stay, that's Christ. If I die, that's gain. He goes, but I'm not sure what I'm going to choose. You know, we hear a lot of scriptures, but I don't ever hear people preaching this part where he says, I'm not sure what I'm going to choose. You mean he had a choice? He absolutely did. He goes on to say, he said, for I am in a strait betwixt two. What's he saying? One translator said he's hard pressed to make the decision, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. You ever had those mornings where you say, Lord Jesus, come today. Take me home today. So he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Did you know your family needs you? I said your family. Now this is for somebody. Your family needs you to stick around. It's more needful for you to stick around. Your family needs you. Your church needs you. This body of believers needs you. So it's not time for you to check out. But what I want you to notice is Paul had this revelation. He said, hey man, he said, I have a choice here. So getting back to, if people say, well, when it's your time, it's your time, that's not based on Scripture. So here I am, you know, my early in my high school years, and my best friend passes away. It was a tragic accident. I was actually supposed to be with him that evening. We were leaving a baseball game in a nearby town, and we had already made plans. I was going to go stay with him, and so we were going to go with his parents, leave a little bit early because we were playing in the JV game, and then the varsity game was after, so we were going to leave, go back home. Instead of riding the bus, we were going to go home and go early, and I was going to stay with him. Well, I just decided that I wasn't going to do that the last just had an impression or whatever you want to say. As a kid, I just decided I didn't want to do that. Wanted to stay and watch the game. And so I stayed, watched the varsity game, and rode the bus back. Well, I got news early in the morning that he had gotten in his car are in his truck. And, you know, this is small town Texas, so, you know, there's gravel and dirt roads all around. And so he was on his way home and I think hit some gravel and just plowed right into a tree and killed him instantly. Tragic. Well, you know, I'm a young high school kid and this impacted my life, deeply impacted my life. And so during that time, especially over the next couple months, you know, I heard, had to go to the funeral and had to be around some people that a lot of foolishness went on during that time. People, you know, especially during the, you know, anytime a school kid dies, this impacts the school, not just the parents and the family, it impacts the school. And so he was very well liked, and so the memorials and the different things that took place, you know, just packed out. People loved him. And but I started hearing a lot of things that just didn't make sense. Started hearing a lot of people come up and saying how much they were his best friend when he had no relationship with them at all. But I remember during this time, a lot of stuff started coming out, and it just didn't make sense to me that, you know, people started saying, well, the Lord took him. Well, the Lord took him. Well, you know, it was just his time. Well, the Lord needed another angel up in heaven. Never registered with me. And again, I was young in the Lord, and I was trying to figure all this stuff out for myself, but that just didn't make sense to me. Because what at that time, what little I knew about the Scripture, I didn't see that. I didn't see that this was the case. But you know, the sad reality is that when people hear this kind of wrong thinking and wrong talking and wrong believing, it actually turns people away from God. I can't put my finger on it, but I'm convinced that this kind of thinking and this kind of talking actually turned his father away from God for a period of time. Him and his mother and father ended up getting divorced, and it was because of the strain of this thing. Sat there and watched it myself. I mean, this was my best friend. I was in their house. Saw it myself. Turned them against God. Now, the mother had enough sense to realize that some of that stuff wasn't true. Well, you got to be careful about saying things that you just don't understand. In times of trial and hard times, when somebody dies unexpectedly, you know, far too many times people try to explain away things that they don't understand. You know, it's okay to just say, I don't understand. That's okay. And then let the Lord talk to you about it. Let the Lord deal with you. But it's okay to just say, I don't understand. You know, going to a funeral home is sometimes some of the hardest things to do. Man, I tell you what, I avoided funeral homes like the plague for a long time because just what I went through. I mean, it was tough. But you know, you hear a lot of crazy things when you go through those receiving lines. But you know, the easiest thing for you to do, let me take the pressure off, is just say, I'm so sorry. I could only imagine. It's real simple. And just convey the love of God. But don't try to explain away things that you have no idea what you're talking about. The only thing that you have to do is to say, Jesus loves you, and I'm sorry. I can only imagine. Well, you know, God is in control. As though God in his omnipotence is controlling everything that goes on in this fallen world. And that's just not the case. Listen, there's things that we will never know this side of heaven, but it shouldn't affect your walk of faith. And really, truly, most of those situations are between them and the Lord. You don't know what happened. I said, you don't know what happened. If you've ever listened to Keith Moore, every once in a while he'll talk about his father passing away. You know, Keith Moore is somebody I follow very closely, have since Bible college. He was one of my instructors. But he's a pilot, flies an airplane, and so he was, as I understand the story, he was flying the airplane, and his father was with him in the plane. And his father had a heart attack while he was flying the plane. Well, you know, he can't get back there and do anything for it. He's flying the plane. So his dad tragically passes away, and he said, this bothered me for quite some time. Bothered me. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, what happened? And he said, finally, the Lord told him. Now, I'm paraphrasing the whole story. Go find it. You know, listen to him. He tells does a wonderful job telling the story and conveying his message. But But the Lord told him, he said, Keith, he said, don't touch it again in your thought life. Because it will lead you down a long, dark road where you may never come back from it. So when unexpected things happen, that shouldn't move you off your faith walk. It just means you don't understand what happened. But again, that's okay. I said, that's okay. Because it shouldn't move you off the fact that Jesus said he came to give us life and life more abundantly. It shouldn't move you off the fact that the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It shouldn't move you off the message that he's already given you when you don't understand. So when you don't understand, you just say, Lord, I don't understand. Jesus said in Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not my ways. So when you don't understand, just say, I don't understand. And then say, Lord, if there's something for me to see in this, show me. That's the way you handle it. So we got to stop believing everything we think. Everything we feel. We got to stop placing so much value on our emotions. And that's a tough thing to do. And in turn, place more value on the Word of God and His thoughts on the matter. Listen, if you don't get anything else out of this morning, understand God is not your problem. Amen. He's your answer. And so don't take sides against God. Don't stand in opposition with God. People will stand up all over this world today at funerals and memorials and declare that God took him or God took her, all the while scriptures tell us that death is the enemy. I said death is the enemy. 1 Corinthians 15, 26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Notice it says the last enemy is death. It's not a tool of God. In fact, scriptures reveal that there are things that we can do to lengthen and shorten our time. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, you understand, we already said that, but it's God's will that you live out your full number of days and to leave this earth on your own terms. Bob Brown, Bob and Evelyn, many years were here involved in this church, and I still stay in touch with Evelyn. She's not able to get out, but we stay in touch with Miss Evelyn. They sit right back here. But I remember at the end of Bob's life, you know, he was dealing with some things and health complications, and he was having to go to the doctor, and things were not looking good. But I remember in particular he came up here because, they couldn't get out a lot, but he would come by once every couple weeks, and he would stop by. He'd go get milk and bread, and he'd stop by, and he'd bring us his tithe check. Yeah. It was a big deal to him. It was a big deal. And so I remember me and him and Pastor Mark were standing out in front of Pastor Mark's door one day when he was here, and I looked at him because he was talking about the things that he was dealing with, and he always kept it positive, you know. He was always a positive individual, didn't really concentrate a lot on the negatives, but that particular day he was talking about how the reports that he had been getting just wasn't great. I said, well, Bob, are you done? And he looked at me and I said, are you ready to go home? He goes, no, I'm not ready to go home. I said, then you just keep living and you go out on your own terms. And he goes, woo! Yeah. He did, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
That message excited him. It was a message that, you know what, I'm not ready. I don't have to go. I said, you go when you're ready. He said, I believe I'm going to go when I'm ready. Well, that's what the scriptures tell us. Job 5:26 says, you shall come to your grave in a full age like a shock of corn comes in his season. What does that mean? There's a right season and there's a wrong season for corn. That's what the Bible says. You shall come to your grave in a full age like a shock of corn is its season. So there is a right season for corn and there is a wrong season for corn. I grew up in the middle of you know, Central Texas, and this was cattle country, this was farming community, and so we had corn all over the place, and, you know, many of my friends, you know, their families were farmers, and so I remember going to their house and walking the fields with them, and well, you know, their dad would go out there watching the corn. You know, there's not much you can do for corn while it's growing, except go out there and watch it grow. Well, they would get out there, and every once in a while, especially when the ears started coming, and you know, they would go out there, and they'd start peeling away, and they'd start checking the corn. Because, you know, there's a right time to pick the corn and there's a wrong time to pick the corn. And so, you know, they wouldn't want to go out there and just start picking all this corn if it wasn't the right time. So what are we saying? There's a wrong season to die. Think about your own life. There's a wrong season to, you can die out of season. You don't harvest kernels when they haven't developed. You don't pick the ears too prematurely. See, you want to wait until the corn goes through all its cycles, until it's ripe. Are you listening to me? Talking about the seasons of your life that you haven't lived out yet. Your ears aren't full yet. They're not mature. They're not ripe. But now here's the other side. See, there's two sides of this thing. Live out your days. Live out your days, your full number of days, but there's another side of this, and that is, starting with Psalm 55:23, here's the other side. It says, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out but half their days. Yeah. So there is a wrong way to die in the sense that you can cut your life short, but then there's also, you can choose wrongly. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Here's another side. Ecclesiastes 7:17 says, be not over much wicked, neither be foolish. Why should you die before your time? Notice what it says, before your time. There are, in fact, things you can do in the natural that can cause you to die prematurely. You know what that word foolish means? It means unwise. Let me help you out here. There is a whole book we call Proverbs. And it's called the Book of Wisdom. And if you go by the Book of Wisdom, you're going to live out your full number of days. But there are some foolish things that we do. It means to be void of sound judgment. Jeremiah 5:21 says, hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and which have ears and hear not. It's an interesting passage of Scripture. In the Voice translation, it reads, even with eyes and ears, you are still blind and deaf. In the Message translation, it says, with eyes that see but don't really look and ears that hear but don't really listen. You ever talk to your kids and said, are you listening to me? You're looking at me, but are you really listening to me? Use some common sense, boy. Somebody said, talking about the foolish, said, common sense is a flower that doesn't grow in everyone's garden. Well, common sense is not as common as you think. Well, what is it? What happens when you don't use common sense? Unfortunately, sometimes it can lead to premature death. That's what we're talking about. Keith Moore tells this story. He's got a binder that you can get called God's Will to Heal. But he says this. He said one fellow was talking about a big factory that they had where there was a lot of equipment around that people could get hurt on. People kept getting hurt and keep getting killed. Some were saying, well, God was just taking them. So the man said, you know, I noticed that when people follow the safety rules, he doesn't take nearly as many of them. God shouldn't take the blame for that. So, well, God just took him. Really? Did God tell him to do what the safety instructions tell him not to do? People say, well, there's just a reason for everything. Can't figure out God. And yeah, one of the reasons is they were dumb. They were foolish. God doesn't have his hand in every situation. In fact, oftentimes, people leave God out of it. That's why they end up in the mess that they're in. Psalm 38:5 says, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Psalm 107:17 says, fools, because of their transgression and their iniquities, are afflicted. Psalm 119:67 says, before I was afflicted. What are we talking about afflicted? Well, if you're afflicted, that means continued pain or continued loss or affliction is talking about, it's the cause of your misery. So if he says my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness, what he's saying is I did something wrong, and so now I'm laying in the bed that I made. It goes on to say in Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You ever made a mistake, ever done something, and all of a sudden you're paying the consequences for your mistake? Listen, we've all done that. Sure, we've all made mistakes. We've all made mistakes that cost us. But don't forget the second part of that. I said, don't forget the second part of that. It says, but now have I kept thy word. See, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. And don't ever forget Psalm 34:19 that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Not one holy grunt when I said that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That just means we're going to make mistakes. We're going to face circumstances in our life that are challenging, that seem to be setbacks. But the Lord delivers us out of them all. There's not an affliction that you're dealing with that He can't deliver you from. But the Lord delivers us out of them all. I was curious about something, just thinking about this message. I was curious, and so I looked it up. But did you know in this world this year, 35 million people die due to preventable behavior? That is astounding. 35 million people die globally due to preventable behavior, or what they call risk factors, every year. So that including both lifestyle-related diseases. Now think about this. Think about that, like smoking. We'll just say because of smoking, smoking does things to affect your body. So that's what they mean by lifestyle. So including both lifestyle-related diseases and accidental deaths, it accounts for more than half of the world's annual deaths. God shouldn't get the blame for that. And think about that, 35 million people, and think about those funeral homes where people are going to get up and they're going to say, well, it was just their time. That's not the God I serve. That doesn't even make sense according to Scripture. See, there's things that we can do that can shorten our life, but here's the other side. There's things we can do that can lengthen our life. So that's where we're going to focus on to end this message this morning. Look over at Proverbs. Because I believe you know the things that you can do to shorten your life. We're going to avoid those things, aren't we? I said, we're going to avoid those things. Amen. But see, there's things we could do to lengthen our life. Proverbs 3, verse number 1, says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Heard somebody say one time, it said, in other words, the word adds years to your life and life to your years. So whenever you choose to believe the word, when you find out what the word of God has to say, you are in fact extending your life when you act on it. You're extending your life. Proverbs 4:10 says, receive my sayings and the years of your life shall be many. Talking about extending your life. Proverbs 9:11 says, for by me your days shall be multiplied and the years of your life shall be increased. Increase is the will of God. Not for things to be cut short. Increase is the will of God. For you to live out your full number of days. Listen, don't check out too early. I said, don't check out. Don't let some sickness or disease or unfortunate accident be the thing that takes you out. Believe God. Get a hold of His Word and allow your life to be extended because you trust Him. Amen. Listen, we're all at different stages of life here. We've got people in here in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. Maybe 90s, I don't know. But just because you're in your 90s doesn't mean that's the end. That doesn't mean it's time to go. Hey, we're going to get there. We're going to talk about that. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about living into my hundreds and broke down and beat down and living on being kept alive by medications and doctors. And does it have to be that way? The Bible's interesting. You know, as you study Scripture and you start studying things out, you know, the Bible used the eagle as a metaphor. That just means, you know, it's a big word for talking about, you know, similarities. Look at the life of the eagle. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Listen, as you get towards the end of your life, those of you who are a little bit older in here, you don't have to be broke down. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In Psalm 103, we just read verse number 5, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You know what that's talking about? I studied this out one time. It's real interesting. But eagles gain new life through a process called molting. I don't know if you've ever studied this out or looked at this. You know, there at Dollywood, they have a whole thing about eagles, and they get up and they actually talk about some of this stuff. But eagles go through this process called molting. In other words, what's happening is they're gradually casting off the old worn-out feathers. And people say this is sometimes a two-year process, but what they're doing is that, you know, the eagles have something like 7,000 feathers. And so they go through this two-year process where they start shedding these feathers that are old and worn out. And it's real interesting because these eagles, you know, they don't just shed one feather here. They shed another one at the same time over here. Because, you know, they still got to fly. And so if you start shedding off too many feathers on this side, then you know, you end up a little heavier on the other. So they know to shed feathers on both sides. It's a real interesting process. And so because they want to remain with the ability to do all that they were created to do and to fly, they stay balanced and they start shedding these things. But as they shed these feathers, then over this process of time, all of a sudden the old and damaged feathers are replaced with new ones, and it's a balanced precision. Well, you too can receive supernatural strength and renewal from the Lord in order to live out your full number of days. So that's what he's saying. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let me encourage you. Take a lesson from the eagle this morning. Is there anything in your life that's old and worn out and needs to be replaced? Any old habits and sins maybe that have held you back? You too can receive supernatural strength and renewal from the Lord in order to live out your full number of days. Listen, I want you to get a vision. This was really heavy on my heart, and you know, I was talking to Pastor Mark about this the other day, and I said, you know, every day I'm praying for our church members, and I'm praying for especially the older ones. I want them to get this vision. I want them to get a hold of what the Word of God has to say. I want you to get a hold of this vision. I want you to see yourself living out your full number of days. But what does that mean? I want you to get a vision of what that looks like. I want you to get a vision of how long is that. So, well, Pastor John, you don't understand. That's just not reasonable. You know, my family didn't make it in, you know, most of our people, we just die in our 70s. Well, are you a new creature in Christ? I said, are you a new creature in Christ? Then old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That doesn't have to be who you are. You need to get a vision for yourself. So, well, I don't want to be kept alive by medicines. And I thank God for medicines. Medicines and doctors have kept me alive a time or two. We don't talk against doctors. But they're not what's keeping you alive. If those medicines aren't keeping you alive, God is. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 19:26. He said, with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. It's an interesting passage. We know the story. We just, not too long ago, went through the Christmas season. And no doubt this story was talked about. But the angel is talking to Mary. The Bible brings up Zechariah and Elizabeth and talking about them being pregnant. But the Bible tells us that Zechariah and Elizabeth, the Bible says that he was an old man, well stricken in years. The promise of God was more alive for them in their older days than it was their younger days. Think about that. He was old and well stricken in years. But here's the passage I want to point out. The angel talking to Mary about all this says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I said, nothing shall be impossible. Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, Lord, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth and your great power and stretched out arms, and there is nothing too hard for you. Amen. See, maybe you're sitting here this morning and maybe you're in those later days that we're talking about. There is nothing too hard for God. I said, there is no. You say, well, I'm advanced in my days. Well, that just means you've got a few more years than everybody else, but that don't mean anything, does it, Dean? See, Dean and I have been having some conversations and recently because Dean is more alive right now than he's ever been. Dean got us all stirred up at the men's meeting. Caleb was talking about the men's meeting the other day, but Dean got us all stirred up because we were talking about him going to the gym, he's opened up all kinds of opportunities, and people are coming to him saying, Brother Dean, will you pray for me? This is a man that just retired, he's more alive than he's ever been. Glory to God. Don't cut your life short. You owe it to your family. You owe it to those around you to keep on living. Everybody stand to your feet. It's never too late to be used of God. I said it's never too late. So you get a vision. Everybody say, I'm getting a vision. Now don't just say it to me. You get a hold of that. Say, I'm getting a vision of long life. With long life, I will be satisfied. I will be satisfied. What does that mean? You're not checking out early. You're not leaving early. Come on, somebody. So maybe you need to ask yourself, is there some adjustments that I need to make? Is there old feathers that need to be pulled? Is there anything that I need to do? Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and, what does it say? Finisher. So maybe there's some things you need to lay aside. Maybe there's some old habits or something that needs to be dealt with. But here's what I want you to understand. These decisions are affecting your life. These decisions, I believe, can extend your life this morning. Have you been looking to Jesus? Quit looking at your body. Quit looking at your circumstances. Quit looking at everybody. Quit looking at your past. Quit looking at your heritage. Just say, I'm looking to Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'm looking to Jesus. Everybody lift up your hands. Father, we come before you this morning. This is a body of believers that is serving you. That they're here this morning because they want to seek after you. We look to you this morning, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are you getting this this morning? Are you getting this this morning? Are you seeing what the Word has to say? So, well, Pastor John, you don't understand. I'm one of those that there's things in my life that I know for a fact have shortened my days. Well, that's all right. Pluck those feathers out. So, well, it's not that. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Is that you this morning? Did you know, written to believers, the Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Maybe that's you. There's hands lifted up all over this auditorium. Maybe that's you. But the Bible says that if you confess your sins, he is faithful. Why don't you have a conversation with the Lord this morning? Why don't you say, Lord, forgive me. I know I've missed it. And then just like that, you change course. Just like that, you've set on a new road. Just like that, you're going down the right direction. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. Choose life. That's what you're doing this morning. You're making those adjustments in your heart. You're saying, I don't like the direction my life's going. I see that I can live out my full number of days. And so I'm making those adjustments that I may live. And he's right here for you this morning. I don't ever want to close a service. I don't ever want to go home without asking, do you know him this morning? Do you know him? Have you made him Lord of your life? Because if you haven't, we want to pray for you. Anybody in the sound of my voice, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. You say, I don't know what it means to choose Jesus. If you'll slip your hand up this morning, we'll make it right. You'll leave with a confidence this morning that Jesus is Lord of your life. Anybody at all? Choose life. Do you know that's why we're here this morning? To choose life. That's why we come together, to choose life. One last thing, I want to pray specifically for those in the sound of my voice this morning that maybe you've been contemplating death. Maybe you've been contemplating what the end of your life looks like. Particularly, I want to pray for those that have been overwhelmed by thoughts of the future. How many days do I have left? Who's going to take care of me? What does this look like for my kids? What does this look like for my family? I want to pray for you. And I can pray for you right where you stand, but if you want me to pray for you right up here, then you just come on down. But I want to say something to you. Your life's not done. Your days are not numbered. You've got life to live. You make the decision for yourself that I'm going to live out my full, everybody say full, full number of days. Not one of you is allowed to go home early. Now, it's okay to get a vision of heaven. We could do some messages on getting a vision of heaven. But don't you dare go early. We won't allow it. I said we won't allow it. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Right where you stand, everybody lift your hands. No matter what age you are, you need to hear these things. But Father, this morning we pray specifically over those that may feel overwhelmed with the thoughts of the future and the days ahead. That may be overwhelmed with, Lord, what does this mean? What does this look like? What does this mean for me? What's going to happen in the days ahead? Well, the Bible tells us that along with the life, the Bible says that he gives us peace. And that word peace is a Hebrew word, shalom, that means nothing missing and nothing broken. So in the days ahead, I specifically pray over you that the peace of God would rule over your life. That nothing would be missing that is necessary. That nothing would be broken unnecessarily. That you would get a vision for long life and you would live out your life to your full number of days. Say, I will not go home early. But I will live out my days with long life. I will be satisfied. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Notice that last part. Till I'm satisfied. Anybody satisfied this morning? Maybe you are. Maybe you've lived a long time and maybe you're just ready to go and you say, Lord, I'm done. I've fulfilled my purpose. Well, that's okay. We're all going to reach that point. And when we do your funeral, we'll do it with joy. I don't think you're there yet, though. I said, I don't think you're there yet. I think we all have life to live. I think we all have something to offer. Everybody say, that's me. You believe that? Amen. Praise God. I'm stirred up about this. I said, I'm stirred up about this. Not that when you reach 50, you start thinking about the end of your life, but when I reached 50, I had to start contemplating some things. I had to start, you know, you start making some decisions and some choices a little bit different when you reach 50. You start approaching life a little bit different because I want to get there. Well, he's given us the tools to get there. And we don't have time to get there. I'm closing. But the next point we're going to get into is he can actually tell you you've got some choices on some numbers. You started going there. You were getting ahead of my message there. Josh shouted out 120. You know, the Bible tells us there's an age range that we can shoot for. And you can believe God for that. Set your faith to that. But the point is, you choose. You choose. You choose how long you're going to live. And don't let anybody tell you any different. Amen. Praise God. You got anything? Amen. Well, glory to God. Leave encouraged this morning. I said, leave encouraged. Shouting the victory because you got many, many, many days ahead to live. Amen. God bless you as you're dismissed. Amen.